We're looking at an operating system crash. So this is something that happens quite quickly. It's something that pulls the rug out from under people's feet. And it's a crash of a virtual system, so you wouldn't expect that to play out over a long period of time. We can't say exactly when something like this might happen in any specific place, but it is already happening in a number of places, and the places where it hasn't happened yet look a lot like the places where it is happening a few years ago. So if you look at, say, Iceland and Ireland and Spain at the peak of their bubble, they look a lot like places like Australia and New Zealand and Canada and Brazil, places where we haven't seen the bubble burst yet, but all the risk factors are in place for it to do so. Now, when you crash the operating system, you're not going to be doing much of anything until you have rebooted it. So it's our job today to start to think about how we might A, prepare for an operating system crash, B, get through the crunch period that will come as a result, and C, how do we reboot the system into something that looks a lot less like a planet-killing Ponzi scheme than our current economy does. Because our current economy is thoroughly pathological. We don't want to reboot the system into the same form. So we need to start thinking about how we might have a system reboot into something that's a lot more sustainable, that's based on a lot more solid foundation. So we need to start thinking about that up front. We have a lot more sort of capacity to do that now before we're in the thick of a period of crisis.
On Big Ideas on RN, that's leading Canadian system analyst and expert on sustainability, energy and finance, Nicole Foss, with a wake-up call that we must anticipate and navigate a period of rapid economic contraction and increasing risk of resource conflict. Let's return now to her talk.
It's important to understand the role of the velocity of money, the importance of liquidity and the velocity of money. Liquidity is important because it represents a pile of choices, or a handful of choices, if you like, that you have the right to make later at a point where you have a lot more information about what choices to make and a lot more opportunities. So if you preserve capital as liquidity through a period of liquidity crunch, you are preserving your freedom of action. That is one of the fundamental functions of money. But it's not just the amount of money that is available, that exists, that matters. It's the rate at which it circulates in the economy. That really determines the level of economic activity that can be supported. Now, under normal circumstances, money circulates in the economy all the time, changing hands from person to person, to business to government, and back to people again. Very little of it is at rest at any given time. But when people and businesses and governments don't know where their next influx of cash is coming from, they stop spending. And of what money is left, after you've subtracted the credit fraction, a much larger percentage of it ends up at rest. So you end up with a liquidity crunch. There's almost no liquidity in circulation. This means there's almost no economic activity that can be supported. You can't connect buyers and sellers and producers and consumers because there's no money to change hands in the other direction. Because another fundamental function of money is as the lubricant in the engine of the economy. And you know what? It's like driving your car with the oil light on. You know what will happen to your car if you do that. The engine's going to seize up on you. Now, in the 1930s, people said we had everything except money. It was true. They had all the people they had before, all the resources they had before, Virgin Continent's worth of resources, but they couldn't do anything with it because they'd crashed the operating system. So what you create under these circumstances is a situation of artificial scarcity, where all the things you had before the crash, you suddenly can't do anything with them. So we need to start thinking about how to address that situation of artificial scarcity. This is about how you get through the crunch period, because there are ways of creating alternative forms of liquidity that make it a lot easier to ride out a situation like this.